Jump by Jilly Cooper. Read by Samantha Bond. Bullies and dictators are everywhere. Not just imposing their stranglehold on vast companies and entire continents, but also creating reigns of terror within small businesses and even marriages. Samson Bancroft was both a Hitler at work, where he kept 50,000 employees worldwide on the jump, but also at home, where he imprisoned, albeit in a beautiful Dorset house called Bluebell Hill, Etta, his sweet wife of 45 years. He resented his wife for being so lovable. Etta was so pretty, her soft curls the glowing light brown of woods before the leaves break through in springtime, and her eyes the dark blue of clouds ushering in an April shower. Samson bullied Etta insensible. Samson had never been ill. Then, during a long winter in the early 2000s, his secretary noticed him nodding off in the afternoon. In May, the firm's annual cricket match took place. At the dinner afterwards, Samson's speech was slurred and rambling. Leaving the hotel, he had tripped and hit his head on a pillar and ended up in hospital. Here, blood tests revealed Howitt's, a dreaded degenerative heart disease. Back at Bluebell Hill, where he was confined to a wheelchair, Samson refused to let anyone but Etta look after him.
"I can understand that," cooed an admiring district nurse. "Mr. Bancroft is too proud a man to let a strange woman see him naked."
That had never been Samson's problem, thought Etta Riley, remembering the serial mistresses he'd kept throughout his marriage. But ever kind-hearted, aware that Samson was in dreadful pain, Etta felt desperately sorry for him. Nor did their two children provide much solace. More than 40 years ago, Etta had nearly died giving birth to two hulking babies, Martin and Carrie. Both twins were indelibly competitive. Dark, square-jawed Martin and heavy-faced Carrie, even more successful in the city than her brother. Neither child had been assiduous in visiting their stricken father. To assuage their consciences, however, they encouraged others to descend on Bluebell Hill. This led to Etta further exhausting herself cooking for Samson's friends, ex-mistresses, and their husbands. Etta's refuge was her exquisite garden. Her other comfort was Bartlett, her ancient golden retriever. One March morning, nearly 2 years after Samson was struck down, Etta woke in rare excitement. The guest-free day ahead coincided with the first day of the Cheltenham Festival. If she could settle Samson with a video of an enthralling test match, she could sneak off to watch the races in the kitchen, particularly as her pin-up, Rupert Campbell Black, had a horse running. But when she crept in with Samson's midday pills, the telephone rang.
"Sampy, darling," cooed a voice as Etta answered. "It's Cheltenham races and roadworks on the M4, so we probably won't be with you before one."
Blanche Osborne was Samson's longest-term mistress. Beautiful, self-satisfied, she'd been spoilt by Basil, her complacent husband. "Blanche and Basil will be with us around one," Etta told Samson. Then, with a surge of spirit, "I wasn't aware."
"I told you last week," interrupted Samson, "but you never listen."
By the time Etta had chucked a leg of lamb in the oven, laid the table and organized drinks, Blanche had arrived. Basil tucked into a large whiskey while Blanche talked to Samson. Etta raced back and forth to the kitchen throughout lunch. With the sound turned down, she lingered in the kitchen to watch the races. They had moved on to celery and brie when Etta noticed the clock edging towards 3:15. "You need another bottle of red," she muttered. Back in the kitchen to open the wine, she couldn't resist turning up the sound as the horses circled at the start. Instantly, she recognized Rupert's colours, today worn by Bluey Charteris, whom Rupert had coaxed out of retirement to ride Lusty, a magnificent liver chestnut. Etta gave a sigh of longing and took a slug of red out of the newly opened bottle. For there was Rupert himself, his thick gold hair hidden by a trilby tipped over his Greek nose. Goodness, he was heaven. The horses bunching up towards the tape, and they were off. Three from home, Lusty was still tucked up in the back. Bluey unleashed him, hurtling up the field, overtaking everything. "Come on, Lusty!" screamed Etta, as Lusty sauntered past the post and Cheltenham exploded. An accusing voice cried, "We thought you were fetching us another bottle."
"So sorry," gasped Etta. Sample complete. Ready to continue?